Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. On this final Sunday of Advent, which happens to be the Christmas Eve, doesn't get much time, as the church has been doing with us, to give us the things we should think about during the week in preparation for the Feast of the Nativity. And so only have today to think about it. And we should, by the way, be thinking about it. The thing to consider here, of course, is the great adage as observed by St. Augustine, that God created you without your help, but God will not save you without your help. That is to say, he created you with free will, and therefore you can choose salvation or you can choose condemnation. God is not going to award you with salvation just because you exist, as so many Catholics believe, so many roll the dice, believing that they're going to heaven no matter what. It simply isn't true. And we see that stark reality of how it is an imperative that our own free wills be involved, because grace builds on nature, and grace perfects nature. Therefore, if you and I don't use the grace God gives us, it lies dormant, does nothing to help us. Our Lady is the Immaculate Conception, and yet it was required that of her own free will she say yes to the design of salvation. It was mandatory that she say yes. As it is said, all of heaven waited outside of God himself and bated breath to see what the answer would be. God, of course, knows, and there's no surprise that Our Lady would indeed say yes to God's will. But the reality is, she still had free will, and she could exercise it. And God required that she be given the freedom to exercise it, because, remember, we are stricken in the fallen state with human love. Human love is needy. Human love is desperate. Human love is clingy. Human love is fearful. You can just see it how people interact, especially young people. They become codependent. They become this emotional mess of two people absorbed into each other, which is nowhere near true love. Because true love is two people who are freely in a relationship and respect each other's personhoods and love each other for the sake of their otherness. Versus where they become a fused monster, desperately needing each other. And so because we have that tendency in our concupiscence, we ascribe that attribute to God. We think that God is clingy, that God is needy, that God is desperate for our love. It's the only way you can explain most Catholics believing in universalism, that they're going to heaven no matter what. Our Lady demonstrates that this simply isn't true just by the fact that she had to say yes to the plan of salvation, the design that God had made, that he promised all the way back in Genesis when he condemned the serpent and told the serpent who his enemy would be. The Blessed Virgin Mary, the one that the enemy would have no power over her because she was the Immaculate Conception. That's why the devil is frightened of the Blessed Mother. And see, that's a benchmark of the reality of living a worldly life. You know, there are three enemies: the world, the flesh, and the devil. And most people do, or at least are trying, to deal with the two enemies, the flesh and the devil. But most people, and especially Catholics, never try to take on the world, which, of course, the Church puts as your first enemy for a reason. All you have to do is look at the way people treat Christmas itself. Christmas, what does that word itself mean? It means the Mass of Christ. Most people either go to the Mass of Christ to get it out of the way so they can enjoy their time together with each other, or they have the Mass of Christ as part of a tradition, which then allows them to go into family life. Everything that's done besides the Mass is pointless, useless, and has no meaning unless it is tied to the Mass of Christ. How many people, when they get together, some people will even have parties tonight, even though the Mass of Christ is not yet celebrated, because it's not yet Christmas. And how often during their social time in their life will they talk about Jesus Christ on his supposed birthday, as they like to think of it? How many will speak of him at the dinner table? How many will speak of him when they're tearing open presents? How many people will speak of him? Very, very few. Because most people live lives of great fear. Partly fear of their own flesh because of the sins they can commit. Partly fear of the devil, which they should not have, as the letter of James and the epistle of John tell us. But I think far too many Catholics are scared to death of the world, which is why they play by the world's rules. Why they do Christmas, the Mass of Christ, the way the world says they're supposed to do Christmas. It's all about the parties. It's all about the gathering. It's all about the shopping. It's all about the presents. It's never supposed to be what the church says. You're going to the Mass of Christ to celebrate the Feast of the Nativity, where God the Father has given to us God the Son, and manifold graces are presented to us just by that end, and the life of redemption begins. Most Catholics don't see it as the reality that the Mass of Christ is not simply us looking nostalgically at a lovely Christmas card, which we're wont to put all over our mantles. It's actually the actual participation in the very nativity of Christ itself. Because we are sacramentally present to Calvary every Mass and in the high feasts, which is why all the prayers we've had for Advent have been geared towards being prepared for the Feast of the Nativity, which isn't about you at home gathered with family having warm fuzzies. It's about you being here at Mass and being present to the very birth of Christ himself. Present to the moment. Present to the moment of Christ in the manger. And the Blessed Mother there in St. Joseph, they're present to the moment in midnight Mass when the shepherds come to visit our Lord. How many people think of that during Christmas? How many Catholics think of that during Christmas? They might be reminded of it by a Christmas carol or by a Christmas card, but typically all they're going to do is talk to each other and enjoy each other's company and just ignore our Lord and Savior and give each other presents on Christ's birthday, which to me in the end never really makes sense. How many of you get presents on someone else's birthday? And yet the world says we're supposed to do that. And what do? We obey. We obey. For some reason, Catholics are afraid. They're scared to death of the world. They live a life of fear. It's a fear of being different. It's a fear of standing out. It's a fear of opposing evil. It's a fear of standing up and being counted as loyal to Christ, which, of course, leads to the world hating you even more. For as our Lord said, the world will hate you because it hated me first. And as St. John wrote in his epistle, the world loves its own. If the world loves you, then you're not of God. And so many Catholics strive and struggle to make the world love them, to make the world accept them, to make the world receive them. And they'll do anything in their power to make sure that the world is not in any way, shape, or form upset by them. This, of course, is not the way of Christ. This is not the way of the brave. This is the way of cowards. For indeed, as St. Paul writes, we've been given a spirit of courage, not cowardice. All we need to do then is look to the example of Our Lady Mary Most Holy, who shows profound courage in the face of the angel. You know, Zechariah was scared. In the past, in the Old Testament, all who saw angels were frightened. And that's why the angels always say, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid. They say that knowing that most of the individuals they encounter are indeed slaves to the world, are afraid of the world. And these preternatural, otherworldly creatures, because they live, you and I live in the natural realm, the angels in the preternatural, only God is supernatural. Not the angels, only God. And so they are superior to us, and they come in to the natural world that they have authority over, breaking in and demonstrating where the truth lies. Hence, when they're encountered, people are scared to death. Not Our Lady, of course. Oh yes, it does indeed say, Gabriel saying, do not be afraid, Mary. But remember, as St. Ambrose wrote, that's because she is a virgin. When the angels appear, they always appear as beautiful young men. And so she's a virgin, and like Ambrose says, all virgins should be afraid when a man approaches them. And so her fear was not an irrational self-preservation fear, but a fear just that comes from she has devoted herself to God. She's a virgin. No rational fear in her because she does not have the five wounds of original sin. She does not have disordered passions. Everything is ordered properly. That's why you see the most profound courage, this side of Christ himself and this side of St. John the Baptist, who Christ regarded as the greatest of all men born of woman. You see it in Our Lady Mary Most Holy at the foot of the cross. Pay no attention to movies that have Our Lady histrionic. Pay no attention to movies that Our Lady telling Christ she will take his place. Our Lady is not histrionic. The fathers and even demons in demonic possessions in the exorcists demanding the truth out of them said that they were taken aback by Our Lady's calmness at the foot of the cross. How she was not losing her mind. Because that would be drawing attention to herself. That would be a public display. Our Lady wouldn't do that. Nor should Catholic women, if they're endeavoring to imitate Our Lady Mary Most Holy. They should show no histrionics. They should be in control, as Our Lady was. The internal suffering that she endured was between herself and her Son and God the Father. And because she's Immaculate Conception, her suffering is so perfect that God accepts it alongside his Son's, which is why we call her co-redemptrix. She didn't redeem us, but she was suffering so purely as Immaculate Conception, because you and I deserve to suffer, even though we all think, most Catholics believe they too are Immaculate Conceptions, that they shouldn't have any suffering or any inconvenience. But if we're truly Catholic and know who we are, we welcome mortification, suffering, because we know we deserve it for our past sins or for the sins of the world. But Our Lady didn't, because she did not share the life of sin. She was not born into original sin. And therefore, she is totally free of it, yet she still willfully puts herself through it, because she shows us how we're supposed to be. Imitators of Christ, centered on Christ, life rooted in Christ, life lived in Christ, life with its goal being Christ, which changes everything. The world hated Christ. To be friends with the world, as Scripture says, is to be enemies with Christ. And most Catholics want to be friends with the world. Most Catholics are scared to death of the world, which is why they'll compromise on Christ left and right in order to fit in the world. We're seeing that now in the chaos in the church today and the hijacking of the church at the highest levels. The Francis and others so afraid of the world that they'll do anything to make the world love them, even condone sin and sacrilege and blasphemy with this so-called blessing for same-sex unions. Friends with the world, it makes you an enemy of Christ, and we're seeing it even in the church, but God is long at his church to punish us for squandering the gifts of grace he gave us, for squandering what Christ did for us, which is why for us, if we are actually more concerned about Christ than our own sentimentality and in pleasing the world, then we actually contemplate the things of Christ, and then we're renewed by the Nativity when it comes every year. We're given hope by the Nativity. And the fact that we've made another year gives us the opportunity to start again in making Christ first in our lives, which is, by the way, his expectation. Love God with all your heart, not part of your heart. With all your soul, not part of your soul. With all your strength, not part of your strength. Everything. And he, of course, is God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. We often don't want to do it. Why? Because it means the world won't love us. It means we won't fit in. It means the world will call us crazy. It means the world will see us as an enemy. And it will mean that our lives are ostensibly in danger. But I submit to you that your life is in far more danger when you compromise on Christ, when you embrace sin, when you live for the world and not for our Lord. If you renounce me before the world, Jesus says, I will renounce you before my heavenly Father, which means hell for eternity. And remember, the horror of hell is that we choose it. It's not given to us by God as a punishment per se. It's God's justice. But we're the ones that want to go to hell. No one falls into hell by accident. And that's what the world does. It lies. It creates illusions. It suggests everything that is not true. That it is the end all be all. You're going to heaven no matter what. So live for the world. Don't live for Christ. Don't live for the salvation of souls. Live for the world. For us as Catholics, the beginning of redemption starts with the Feast of the Nativity. That's why we celebrate Advent for 4 weeks. Distancing ourselves, as it were, from Christ by virtue of that penance and the contemplation of his first coming and his second coming, and then entering into his life more deeply at the Mass of Christ, Christmas, Christmas. Christ Mass, Christmas. It's the only thing you should do on Christmas Day that really matters. Everything else is either you trying to create nostalgia from your past or trying to find security in emotionalism and sentimentality, having nothing to do with courage and bravery, having everything to do, well, like hiding under a blanket in your bedroom where it's warm and safe. That is not the way of Christ. That is not the way of the martyrs. That is not the way of saints. It is the way of the world. So we must be ready then to enter into the life of Christ on the Feast of the Nativity, Christ, Mass, Christmas. It's only one of the two times that the Church wants you to celebrate Midnight Mass, because it shows how Christ, so eager the Logos was to save us, that he came at midnight, the first moment of December the 25th. So desirous is he to begin the work of salvation. And you don't have to wait 33 years to see how it turns out. We know how it turns out. And that's the whole point of the Church, this liturgical year, that we enter into the life of Christ and live our lives through that prism, through that understanding, through that funnel. And so now is the time to start again. If you have Christmas parties to go to tonight, cancel out, because it's not yet the Mass of Christ. Don't go. I dare you. Because if you love Christ, you wouldn't. Because you're not going to celebrate the Christmas as a holiday until you've been to Christ's Mass. And then everything should flow from there. Everything should be rooted in that. And be willing to speak of Christ. Be willing to speak of Christ, especially to your relatives who've embraced the Protestant heresies, or the angry ex-Catholics, or anyone who's not even aware of Christ. Be willing to speak of why the nativity of Christ is so important. Make the day matter for Christ, not for yourself and your own emotionalism. Make the day matter for Christ and not for nostalgia and a past that can never be relived. Make the day matter for Jesus the Christ himself. And share the good news of salvation. If you are properly disposed, every grace you need to do that, you will experience at the Mass of Christ, Christ's Mass, Christmas. Every grace you need to do it is there. The only reason it won't be there when you leave the Church is because you didn't want to do it. Because you were too afraid of the world, or too afraid of not being loved. What did Jesus say? Do not be afraid of those who can kill the body. Be afraid of the one who can consign the soul to Gehenna, which is hell. Be more afraid of God than you are of your family and friends. Be more afraid of displeasing God than you are your relatives and friends. Be more afraid, in the ordered sense of respect of God, than fearing the emotional blackmail your so-called loved ones place upon you. So listen to the words of the Archangel Gabriel to the Blessed Mother, the words of the angels in the Old Testament, and of course the reality that this is the command that Christ issued the most in the Gospels. Do not be afraid. Because it can begin for us on this Feast of the Nativity. True life in Christ, no more fear, only courage and a desire to embrace the adventure, the mission of bringing souls to Christ, the only one that can save. No longer slaves to our passions, no longer slaves to the emotional blackmail of our so-called loved ones, no more fear of what the world will think of us, no more fear of staying in opposition to lies with the truth, no more fear of standing up against evil, because we will have the strength of Christ. Because as Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. But if we tie into the graces that our Lord so abundantly gives, especially in these higher feasts, we can do everything that Christ wants us to do. We can bear much fruit and truly be his disciples, following the example of Our Lady herself, the paragon of all discipleship, the greatest example and one who lived it out most fully. So instead of falling to the world's lies and traps and playing Christ's Mass the way the world says so, or even the way your family says so in hyper-sentimentality, do it the way Our Lady did it. Do it the way St. Joseph did it. Centered on Christ himself. He was the whole point of the day for Mary, for Joseph, for the shepherds, for the angels before the shepherds, for anyone who came to see, for Herod, later for the three wise men, Herod for all the wrong reasons. Somehow we don't do that. We didn't even pay as much attention to Christ as Herod did, ironically. Because Herod wanted to kill him. Herod was obsessed with him. We're supposed to love him. Why aren't we? Well, the good news is, the graces our Lord gives us, the past is not against us, especially if we go to confession regularly. The present is the only place we can live because the future never happens. We want to live in today. Let's live in today for Christ, through Christ, in Christ, with Christ, by beginning to receive the abundant graces on the Mass of Christ, Christ's Mass, Christmas. And when we approach tonight or tomorrow, whichever Mass you're going to, listen to those words, despite what the world's going to tell you. Despite what your heart's going to tell you in your flesh, despite what the devil's going to tell you about how you'll make your family mad by not going to functions or not being present, listen to the words of Christ himself as he calls you to himself. Do not be afraid. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.